Welcome to the author commentary for Star Wars From a Certain Point of View, The Empire Strikes Back. Here, we go behind the scenes with contributors to discuss the creative process behind their stories. I'm Elizabeth Schaefer, one of the editors who worked on this fabulous project. And just so you know, these conversations may contain some story spoilers. And right now we're talking to Zoraida Cordova, author of a story called Wait For It. Welcome to the show, Zoraida.
Thank you so much. It's so good to see you.
Yeah, it's so nice to talk to you. For your story, you got to take on Boba Fett, the baddest, fiercest bounty hunter in the history of the galaxy. At least that's what he thinks.
Absolutely.
What drew you to Boba Fett as your POV character?
You know, I think I just like the bad boys of Star Wars. that's kind of the simple answer. But I've always been fascinated with Boba Fett, just the idea of him. You know, he has such a cool outfit, and I'm a big fan of like the Mandalorian helmets, just the shape of them.
Oh my gosh, one thing
Star Wars does really well is armor. So he's always been this sort of just strong, silent type that has like a couple of lines, like, you know, like I need him alive or whatever.
No disintegration.
But I've always wanted to know more. And it wasn't until the Clone Wars, obviously there are books, the Legends books, and there's the comic book with Ethan Sachs. So we get a little bit more about Boba Fett, but I still want more. And getting and being able to get in his head a little bit, I just jumped at the opportunity because I would have assumed that, you know, he's one of the first characters out for grabs.
Yeah, that's interesting that you would think there would be a danger because part of his appeal is his mystery, that the closer you get to him, that, you know, you would kind of erode some of that mystique. But I don't think that's the case at all. I think feel like the more I get to know him, the more I like him as a character.
Yeah. It's not like he's the strong, silent type who, as soon as you start talking, he has like a high-pitched voice and there's a reason that he doesn't talk. He actually
So there are a few great Boba Fett scenes in The Empire Strikes Back, and you chose to write around the scene where Vader has assembled a motley crew of bounty hunters to go and track down the Millennium Falcon. What interests you in writing this particular Boba Fett scene?
That particular scene was really cool for me because having read the backstory in some of the Star Wars comics, where you see the relationship between Vader and Boba Fett. And so Boba is privy to these small moments with Darth Vader. And so I just, in my mind, since he's obviously helmeted and he doesn't, they're just sort of there to take instructions. I'm like, what is going through his mind as this, you know, the Sith Lord is walking across, you know, into the, in front of them, and seeing all of, to me, they're all his buds, you know, Bosk and Dengar. So I'm like, what is it like? When have they seen each other? And that's the beauty of Star Wars. Right? You start asking all these questions. When was the last time they saw each other? What happened to Krayt's Claw? Are they still friends at all? I mean, I guess that, you know, friends is a very loose term, for these bounty hunters, but I just wanted to dig into that very particular moment, because when we're in Cloud City, there's a lot of action, which is a lot of fun. But to me, these anthologies specifically delve into more of the internal monologues and the internal thought that we don't get on screen.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I love that you mentioned Krayt's Claw, because you also wrote a fantastic adaptation of the Clone Wars episode Bounty for the Lucasfilm Press Clone Wars anthology. Did digging into Boba Fett's history for that story influence how you wrote him in Wait For It?
Absolutely. In the Star Wars Clone Wars Stories of Light and Dark, my story was the episode Bounty, which is one of my favorite episodes in the Clone Wars, because there's a moment where we see Boba Fett. He's a little bit older, you know, he has a buzz, he has a crew cut, and he's running his own crew. And he's this little kid. And so Ventress is just sort of looking at him like, you're the boss. And he has a lot to prove because he's grown up with all of these notorious and infamous beings in the galaxy. And he's like a survivor of so much trauma and watching his father die and being raised in like the wilds of space on ships and doing terrible things and a failed assassination. And so that all adds so many layers to who this man becomes. And so my question, I feel like I ask my characters a question, which is like, why are you like this? And I think that bounty is a big insight into why Boba Fett is like this, right? He has so much to prove. This is almost like one of the last times that he's going to be duped or fail at a mission. And so from then on, like he's just going to become like the fiercest, puts fear into the heart of mortals as soon as he walks into a cantina and type of dude.
I hadn't thought of that before, that every time we see Boba in the Clone Wars, he is surrounded by like groups of people. He's parts of these teams. And yet the character that we see in the original trilogy is such a loner. Mm-hmm. And what were the events that happened between that time in the Clone Wars and when we see him in the OT that turned him into that person, you know? I mean, how did you go about imagining like when you brought back Krayt's Klaw for this story, extrapolating from the last time we saw them in the Clone Wars to, what is it? Oh man, I'm going to get, the Star Wars police are going to get me for not knowing the exact amount of time.
So many years.
But so many years from when they had last seen them. How did you imagine that extrapolation of those relationships?
I mean, I figure that Boba just sort of went on his own. He's a one man wolf pack, right? in a way. And I think that there's almost like a softness to Bosk, which is surprising because Bosk is this like big lizard man. Trandoshan. Like I know the word, you know. I know what he is. He's just a big lizard. And he protected Boba as a kid. When they were in that prison in the Clone Wars, like he protected him and he taught him the ropes. And in Star Wars, so many relationships are master and apprentice. And so in a way, this is like a different master and apprentice of doom, right? Of bounty hunters, where like Boba has now surpassed Bosk in skill. And because there are not a lot of other, there are some mentions in the canon of them working together. Like I said, in one of the comic books, that recently came out, but because there are not other mentions, I sort of imagine that Boba likes to work alone for a reason. And I think that reason is because he cannot connect to other people. And I don't want to give spoilers to my internal monologue of him, but that's pretty much what I imagine.
And another cool thing about your story is that for the audiobook, it will be read by John Hamm. That's pretty exciting. I don't have a question here. I just wanted to say, that's so cool.
So that's for real. Oh my God. I don't know. I don't know why I'm blushing. It was 3 years ago, 2017, when the first anthology came out.
80 years ago.
100 years. I read all the stories because I was so excited. And I was just like, oh my God, all these things. And I remember reading Paul Dini's story, Added Muscle. And I then listened to the audiobook and I listened to John Hamm read it. And as I was writing, I was like, well, if there's a chance that he's going to read it again, then like, I sort of know, you know, this moment, right? He walks in, he's just sort of like, people approach him, people talk about him. I do think that he is incredibly cocky, not John Hamm, Boba Fett. Boba Fett is incredibly cocky when he walks into a room. And so I sort of, I had that voice while I was writing. I had John Hamm's voice as I was.
That's perfect. It was meant to
yeah.
be.
Yeah. It's so cool. I'm so excited to be able to hear that.
And then my final question is very important and very serious. Who would win in a fight, Boba Fett or Bossk or Dengar? But let's be honest, not Dengar.
Not Dengar. I'm sorry. So he's disqualified. You know, I think it would be a toss up. I think that Boba Fett's probably still like the fastest draw. I think Bossk is stronger as a species, and he has sharp teeth. But also, Boba Fett has Mandalorian armor, so it doesn't matter.
That's not going to work out for him, huh?
It won't work out for him. I think Boba would win, because also I do think that this is just me being a softie. I think that Bossk would just be like, there's a tiny, tiny fraction of him, like a Darth Vader who still has like a fraction of good in him, who cares about Boba. And it's just like, I can't.
That's beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Zoraida, and thank you for listening. You can read Wait For It and all of the other stories in From a Certain Point of View, The Empire Strikes Back, available now from all your favorite booksellers in print, ebook, and audio download. Thank you.